morning, VCC. Can everybody hear me? All right. Well, this is it's tough to get up, and this is off script, but it's after singing that song. You know, there's a lot of that song means a lot to me. You know, I think of my mother's funeral and my grandma's funeral. She used to sing that at Christmas, and now my heart and my mind is thinking about all that. So, but it's a great song. So what I'm going to do is I'm preaching on emotions today, and I wrote a sermon on emotions. So I'm going to read that, then I'm going to get brave and step away and talk from my heart. So here it goes. What would it be like if we never became emotional? If we were capable of controlling our emotions at all times? Perhaps we could be like Mr. Spock on Star Trek. His responses are all purely logical. Never emotional. But God created us in His image, and God's emotions are revealed in Scripture. Therefore, God created us emotional beings. We feel love, joy, happiness, guilt, anger, disappointment, fear. Sometimes our emotions are pleasant to experience and sometimes not. Sometimes our emotions are grounded in truth and sometimes they are false. In that, they are based upon false premises. For example, if we falsely believe that God is not in control of all of our circumstances in our life, we may experience emotion of fear or despair of anger based on that false belief. Regardless, emotions are powerful and real to the one feeling them. Our emotions can be a helpful indicator of really where our hearts are. It is important that we learn about managing our emotions rather than allowing our emotions to manage us. For example, when we feel angry, it is important to stop, identify why we are angry, examine our hearts to determine why we are angry, and then proceed in a biblical manner. Out of control emotions tend not to produce God-honoring results. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. All right, I'm going to share a personal story. Russell, will you put that gauge up there? So this is a temperature gauge. You know, and right now it's running in the normal range. And that's like our emotions. I mean, that's where we should be running. So go to the next gauge. Now we're at hot. So I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me last week. Kenny might know the story already, but Joe calls me. And he says, Dad, he says, feed truck's broke. The auger we have a 30-foot auger on the truck, and it snapped. And I'm in a meeting, and I just go, are you kidding me? Where's Joe at? But are you kidding me? And so I said, I'll be right there. And I knew the truck just went to Portland, Indiana, 2-hour drive. So I sit on my way, and I examined my heart. I figured, okay, why am I angry? So in the past, when Joe calls and something's broke down, I go, are you kidding me? You know, I say it a different way. I said, are you kidding me? So I get there, and we made a plan, and we had to fix another truck. We got another feed truck called the Jesus truck, so we had to fix that truck up. So anyways, at the end of the day, Joe text me this, and I got Joe's permission to use this. He says, I am very proud of how you handled the day. Today was a bad day, but with good attitude and teamwork, make things much better. Something I ran across that has really helped me. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Colossians 3:23. So, you know, there's times, and I'm working on it in my own personal life, that my emotions take over, I admit. But what I learned from this was the way I responded to this incident, it ministered to Joe. Because Joe sent me scripture, and I was very humbled by that. And then I actually sent him, everybody knows what I sent him back, 1 Peter. But I'm very humbled by, so our responses to situations, our emotions of how we control can minister to other people. Oh, and then my buddy JJ, and I also got his permission to share this. JJ, keep JJ in your prayers. He's having some problem with seizures. He called me, and he's upset. He just found out, he can't drive. It was a family. It was very emotional for the family, but JJ handled it with wisdom. He says, "Tim, I just need to sleep on it, and we're going to talk about it tomorrow." That's what he did to his family, and to me, that's showing great wisdom. There's another picture here. This is what happens when we let emotion out of control. It blows up, and when that happens, everything breaks down. That car there might have a broken block. You know, when we let our emotions take control, you know, it can make us sick. But JJ used wisdom in that situation. So our emotions are a gauge, not a guide. And wisdom says wait, emotions say hurry. So our emotions, like our minds and bodies, are influenced greatly by the fall of mankind into sin. In other words, our emotions are tainted by our sin nature, and that is why they need controlling. The Bible tells us to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, not by our emotions. If we recognize our emotions and bring them to God, we can then submit our hearts to Him and allow Him to do His work in our hearts and direct our actions. At times, this may mean God simply comforts us, reassures us, and reminds us that we need not fear. Other times, He may prompt us to forgive or ask for forgiveness. In the Psalms, it's an excellent example of managing emotions and bringing our emotions to God. Many psalms are filled with raw emotion, but the emotion is poured out to God in an attempt to seek His truth and righteousness. Sharing our feelings with others is also helpful in managing our emotions. The Christian life is not meant to be lived alone. God has given us the gift of other believers who can share our burdens and those burdens we share. Fellow believers can also be reminded that God's truth and offer new perspective. When we are feeling discouraged or afraid, we can benefit from encouragement and reassurance from other believers provide. Often, when we encourage others, we ourselves are encouraged. Likewise, when we are joyful, our joy usually increases when we share it. Allowing our emotions to control us is not godly. Denying our emotions is not godly either. We should thank God for our ability to feel emotion and steward our emotion as a gift from God. The way to manage our emotions is to grow in our walk with the Holy Spirit, the one who produces us in self-control. We need daily input of scriptural principles, a desire to grow in the knowledge of God, and time spent meditating on God's attributes. We should seek to know more of God and share more of our hearts with God through prayer. Christian fellowship is another important part of spiritual growth. We journey with fellow believers and help one another grow in faith as well as in emotional maturity. So, that was the easy part. Now the hard part is I step over here. I need 5 volunteers. Come on up, Adam. All right, yeah. Now, don't show this. And when I tell you to flip it around, you are right here. No. Yeah, don't show them. This is
already showing.
Oh. Yeah. Hey, you're special. You're gonna go up here. You're gonna be. Yeah. All right. This is where I get brave, and I do have some cheat notes. But 1 Peter 4, Russell, 3, 4. Yeah. So I call these different seasons. And I think every season there's a different emotion. I won't get into all the emotions, but there's different, everybody has different emotions through each one of these, what I'm going to present. So the first one is learning. So this is a season where we're into the Word. We're studying the Bible. We're surrounding ourselves with different people. We're just trying to make a change in our life. We're just working hard, learning about the Lord, doing things that we think are right. And then, all of a sudden, better read 1 Peter. This is 1 Peter 4, 3 and 4. And I picked this verse because I love this verse. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless adultery. With the respect of this, they are surprised when you do not join them. I love that verse because what's going to happen? Say you just learned that verse, and you know your life is full of parties and drunkenness, and you're trying to change. The first thing that's going to happen, you just learned this. Now all of a sudden, boom, temptation. So, this is, we're all going to be tempted. Now, God does not tempt us. He does not tempt us. You are going to be tempted by the toughest thing, what you're learning and what you're struggling with at first. I guarantee it. You're going to be struggling with something. You're going to be tempted with that right out the gate because our adversary knows it. He knows how to get you. And that's what he's going to go after. He's going to go after the easiest thing. And once you get through that, it's going to get simpler. We'll go through that a little more. But, so 1 Peter 5, 8, 9. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Folks, Satan can't be at one place. He can only be at one place at one time. He can't be everywhere. That's why he prowls around like a roaring lion. We got to be very cautious of temptation, not to let him get you. You know, and I've always, this is a big one. Animals in the wild are the ones that are ate up are the weakest. All right. So, temptation. Now the next one is boom. You got trials and struggles. 1 Peter 6, 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you know you have been grieved by various trials, so that we are tested with genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes through it, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, folks. Struggles, we're all going to have them. It's guaranteed. All believers, we're going to face trials. So we need to accept the trials as part of a refining process that burns away our impurities and prepares our minds to meet Christ. It shows our character. You really don't know someone's true character until you go through a struggle or a trial. How are you going to react? You know, I think it really shows where you're at with Christ. How do you react? You know, are you turning to an alcoholic beverage because you're stressed? Are you turning to something other than Christ? As I grow in Christ, we turn everything over to Him. We need to give Him thanks for our struggles. Now, I know somebody's saying, are you kidding me? We got to give thanks for our struggles. Well, folks, we're going to struggle. It's something that it's in Scripture talks about. We're a Christian. We're going to struggle, and we'll get deeper into that here in a little bit. So, yep, that's all in struggle. There's more I want to share, but it's hard when you're up here and your mind goes blank sometimes, so bear with me. I didn't want to go to this one yet because this one, I know I'm going to tear up. I just know I am. I'm going to try not to. Jason says, you're not going to cry. No, Jason, I'm not going to cry. Oh, and you got the big one. You got the big one. So, okay, we went through learning, temptation, trials, and struggles. Now, redemption. This is everything I'm trying to bring home today. Is redemption. This is where Jesus gave his blood for us, for our sins. He died for us. He wants to save us all. I mean, it's everything. And we all need to turn to him and just give it to him. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that you should perish, but all should reach repentance. 1 Peter 1:18-19. That was the first, okay. 2 Peter 3:9. Sorry about that. Oh, you're right. Fulfill the promises. Did we just do the 2 Peter 1? So we're going to do 1 Peter 1. Okay. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but perish the blood of Christ like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Folks, redemption, you know, this is where we all need to be steering towards. We need to give our life to Christ, surrender everything. I mean everything, and dig deep into our heart. And we need to repent. And when I say repent, I mean it could be 10 years of crap in you. 10 years, and it hurts. I mean, we got to dig down and search it. It's for your well-being, and repent to him. Repent at all. And then have faith and live in faith. We all fail. Everything we do, we fail. We're failures. But Jesus died on the cross and gave us his blood. He did it all for us. So redemption is really what I'm trying to get to today. Surrender it all to him. This here is what will save us from hell. It's important. It will save us from hell. Now the mountaintop. And, you know, this is the most dangerous place to be. This is when everything is going well, nothing really happening. We start feeling comfortable. The world thinks this is where we should be. But it is the most dangerous place to be. And, you know, when I was preparing the message, and I don't know if this is going to work or not, but we talked about the prey, the lion will devour you over here. But I want to try this. So if everybody just closes their eyes, and I want you to think, I did this to Adam yesterday, and Adam says, "Dad, this isn't going to work." But I'm visioning. So I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to think of a flock of sheep in the pasture. And as you're thinking of the sheep pasturing, there's a lamb that just wandered off. You see it over there? You know, it's right over there. Now, which one is the lion going to swallow up? He's going to go right. You see the lion? He's going to go right over there. I vision that. I'm a visionist. I like to vision things like that. But see the lion? He just got ate up. And all right, you can open your eyes now. Did it work? But you see what I'm saying? That's where we're at up here. At the mountaintop, this is where we'll drift away, and that lion will come and devour us. We got to be cautious, very cautious. And I was thinking this morning of our youth. The kids are not youth anymore, adults, young adults going off to college. They may feel like right now they're here on the mountain, up on the mountaintop, you know, but I guarantee they get to college, temptation, guaranteed, it's going to happen. And you have to be on the lookout. Is our college kids in here? Are they? How many people's going to college? All right. But anyway, I'm serious, guys. Are you feeling on the top of the mountain right now? Oh, okay. All right. But you want to be cautious. Watch out for the roaring lion. But let's pray for our teens. The teens, they're not teens, they're young adults. You guys want to come up and we'll pray for you? Come on, Caleb. Russell, you want to pray for him? You're the youth pastor. Where's all our college adults? But no, I'm serious, you guys. Temptation will strike. Struggles are going to happen. And we're here for you. Keep your faith. If you need assistance, call somebody. We'll guide you. All right, let's wrestle.
Father, we come to you this morning for these young adults as they're getting ready to go out into a new change in their life. Father, help us to remember this lesson of as we learn and we face temptations and the trials and the struggles come. And Father, then the dangerous mountaintop. So we pray for these students here as they go out to further their learning, that they remember to do all their learning to glorify you for their actions and their deeds and for their words.
Good luck, guys. We'll be praying for you. You know, all right, we're going to go start all back. So we learn about learning, temptation, trials and struggles, and redemption in the mountaintop. Well, I'm going to challenge you. So what do you do when you start getting being tempted. Folks, we are in a spiritual war. So you need to make a plan. I'm big on putting things, a plan on paper. I always teach the children that it's not a plan unless it's on paper. You need to make a spiritual warfare plan when your family is tempted or when you're personally tempted. What are you going to do? You know, a good one is Ephesians 6:11. Put on the armor of God. We've all heard that verse, but that's a good one. You know, you got your breastplate. I was going to bring all that stuff, but I thought that would not be good. A helmet, you know, foot, you know, that's all important. But you got to be prepared because temptation, it's for us all. We have to make a game plan. Struggles. And I normally don't tell people when they're in the struggle that it's for your good because they don't want to hear that. And they may not understand. They may not be a Christian and they don't really understand that it is for their good. But I personally guarantee, and I want to challenge you to go home, sit down as a family, get a piece of paper and write all your struggles. I'm talking, and for me, it's a big list. And write all your struggles down that you can remember. Write them down over here. And then as a family, I guarantee you, there is good out of every struggle. So beside that struggle, write the good that came out of that struggle. Because I guarantee you, every struggle that you've been in, there is good. Oh, and it's just the way it works. It's the way it works. So those are my two challenges for temptation and trials. But you got to have a battle plan. We don't go play football without a plan. It's on paper. And I don't understand why we don't. We make plans for everything else. So why don't we have a spiritual warfare plan? You know, it just makes sense to me. It just makes sense. All right, non-Christians now go through the same thing, learning, temptation, trials, and struggles. But this redemption, they skip over it and go right over to maybe the mountaintop. This is no direct order, but people want to skip the most important part. And then you got to watch in your learning false prophets. 2 Peter, I mean, it's all about false prophets or false, you know, you're not learning the correct stuff. You're not learning. You got to be careful because you may get the prosperity gospel, you're always feeling good, and you're going to skip right over the main part, redemption. So a non-Christian goes through every single thing. They go through temptation, trials, and struggles, and they skip over this. And so I urge you to not skip over this. Surrender everything to Christ. It's His blood. It's what He done for us. You know, repent, have faith, forgive. It's so big. This is what's going to save you and send you to heaven. And so important not to skip over this. And guys, I can tell you this. Temptation and struggles. You know, I had a youth. I never will forget. I had a youth child years ago say, you know, I'm really trying, but I'm seeing no change. I'm still going through struggles. I still have temptations. But folks, we as Christians, we're going to have it. We're going to have temptation and struggles until Jesus comes back. There's no ifs and ands about it. All right. So my prayer today is for you guys to really hit home on this redemption and just surrender it all to Him. And I'm gonna pray, and the worship team will come up, and you guys can sit down. Thank you. Oh, jeepers. You can still sit down, but I had the best story to tell, and I forgot about it real quick. So, and this story is awesome. It's funny because we preached on marriage, and Russell last week preached, and all of them had something from Genesis. And I got a story from Genesis that just blows my mind, and I'm going to share it. I've shared it with several people. The Steffens, I shared it with them, and Lindsay, I think Lindsay says, wow, I didn't know that. So, Genesis 32, 22 and 32, and it's a great, and I did not pick this because of wrestling. You know, I love wrestling, but it is, I call it the world's best, biggest wrestling match. But it's Jacob wrestling, all right? So let me see if I can get this right in my head. So Jacob is in trouble, and he's walking. He's in trouble with his brother. So what happens is Jacob sends his wife one direction, and he goes to another direction because he knows his brother is mad at him, and he's bringing an army. He's bringing an army to get him. So this strange man shows up, and they start wrestling. And Jacob then realizes that this guy he's wrestling is God. And they keep wrestling. They wrestled all night long. Now, anybody that wrestles knows 1 minute of wrestling is enough to knock us out, but they wrestled all night long. So it got to be morning, and God said, let's stop. And Jacob kept wrestling, so then God touched his hip, put it out of whack, and now imagine the agony. Jacob's already beat up from the anxiety from his brother, and Jacob, God says, let go of me. And Jacob, and this is the moral of the story, he says, I'm not letting go until you bless me. Jacob would not let go of God until he blessed him. I think that's beautiful. You know, and God thought that was a great response. So they stopped wrestling, and God blessed him. He says, no longer your name is Jacob. He changed his name. His brother and him got along the next day. But the moral of the story is don't let go of God. And I think that's amazing. I don't know why. I've known the verse, but I did not really, don't let go of God. And wrestling with God is good. You know, learning. We talked about learning. You know, I shared with Nick one time, and I felt like my wrestling with God in His Word, because I'll stay out in the office. I know Russell and I, we stayed out. I'll stay out till 3 a.m. and studying, wrestling with this to try to get it in my head. And I made a comment to Nick, and I felt convicted sometimes when I'm wrestling with God. Nick says, we better never stop wrestling with God. But I thought sometimes when we wrestle with God, God doesn't like that. But God loves that we wrestle with Him. We all need to continue to wrestle with Him. But the verse, just holding on to God and never letting go, I think it's just beautiful. Through our trials, through our temptations, we are to hold on and don't let go until He blesses us. And Jesus loves when we wrestle with Him. And I didn't pick that verse because of wrestling, but it's just a neat story. So that pretty much, I hope it, I really thank everyone who asked this question, because when you're studying for a message like this, it has really helped me. It has helped me grow through a lot of issues. So let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I there's a lot of things that I struggle with. And Lord, I thank you for opening my heart. And so, Lord, I just ask you to help me through those emotions. And Lord, if there's anybody here, Lord, that's struggling, let them share what they're struggling about. They don't have to take that on by themselves. I just pray, Lord, that everybody surrenders all their crap, all their ugliness. Lord, let's give Caleb something to clean up after church today. Lay it all on the ground and on the floor, and so he can sweep it up later. We surrender it all to you, Lord, and we love you. And if there's anybody here who needs prayer, just come up afterwards and let's pray and let's surrender it all to him, and we'll work it through. We can do it together. We can learn from each other. So I just pray, Lord, that we surrender it all to you and give it to you and have faith in you. Just pray it all in your name, Lord. Amen.